Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, it's Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. I want to welcome everybody to the chat room and all those folks listening that aren't in the chat. I want to remind you that this program and many others are brought to you by PatriotFamilies.com. That's PatriotFamilies with a YS.com. And if you guys aren't members over at Patriot Families, I'd encourage you to sign up, become a member. Doesn't cost anything. great group of people over there. Some of them, like myself, just don't do Facebook for many obvious reasons. Before I get into the rest of the show, whatever that may be, something today just really pissed me off. So I'm going to have to share it with you, and I apologize if you don't agree with me, but I can't help the way I feel about certain topics. And of course, as we all know, in the last several years, the subject matter of homosexuality has been just, pardon the pun, thrust in our faces on television and the media. It's constant. Of course, culminating with the homosexual marriage. Being an AOL subscriber, I'm inundated with the little news screen that pops up when you first log on, and it's all part of HuffPo, which just makes my skin crawl to read some of the comments from these people. It's enough to make you want to tear your eyes out. This particular article, and I had a link to it, and I think I've still got the link. I'll paste it here. Yes. Guys, you know, if you're a homosexual, that's fine. I personally don't have a problem with it. I don't want to know. I don't want to, you know, I don't discuss my sexuality with my wife, with my audience, or even with very close friends. So I really don't want to know. But I draw the line, personally, as a father and a grandfather, when we begin attempting to expose children to the homosexual lifestyle. I refuse to call it gay because it's not. It's homosexual. There is a distinct difference. And this group of homosexuals and transgenders, I guess that's people that are confused over what their organs are intended for, or they're not happy with their current plumbing situation, I don't know. But this group, they show these group of children videos of marriage proposals of two homosexuals. One is two men at a Home Depot, a man proposing to the other man. And then the other is a woman proposing to a woman. And it just blows my mind that these people are so starved for acceptance that they turn their perversion on young children. Children are generally very accepting. And that is what really bothers me. Not that we don't have the pervasiveness of pedophiles in the heterosexual community, and perhaps it's just a unwarranted concern. But none of that really matters because, quite frankly, I personally find it absolutely infuriating, disgusting, and wrong. And I can't help the way I feel about that. I think the behavior is disgusting. And I fully get, and I know a lot of people don't agree with this, but I fully get that these people don't choose to be homosexual. I don't believe that for a minute. I'm a man. I'm 48 years old. There is nothing, nothing that could have caused me when I was 16 to wake up one morning and say, "Nah, you know what? I think I'm going to try swinging from the other vine for a while, see if I like that." No, I'm sorry. You know, there's always some level of experimentation, especially among the younger crowd. But as a man, I know that I was born with an attraction to females, period. And I believe there are those men that are born with something short-circuited in the brain that they're attracted to members of the same sex. And I, that women as well. I just don't believe that people cognizantly choose to be gay or homosexual. I'm sure there are some, but I just don't believe that they actually choose that. Nonetheless, I don't believe that sex, sexual orientation, persuasion, I don't think any of that, number one, is proper for a stranger to be discussing with a child. I think that is for the parents to cover. And it just something about that, just the video at that link just infuriated me. It makes me want to strangle these people. Physically just choke the crap out of them. Now, I don't know. Maybe they consulted. I'm sure they must have consulted the parents. But my God, you know, it's hard enough for these kids without being having sexuality thrust in their face. At the age of 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 or 13, they're going through enough confusion as it is. Do we have to sexualize our children at such a young age, or at any age for that matter? I was very open and honest with my children, but I have two daughters. I was very open and honest with them about sex and sexual things, you know, growing up. I didn't want them to have any misunderstandings. And I was brutally honest with them. Some people say too honest, but that's just the way it works. You know, the reality is, for a young teenage girl, that every boy out there that shows interest in you has one interest. And it's not his fault, per se. It's a mechanical thing. We are attracted to women. Period. That's it. It's a natural occurrence. But this one just really pissed me off. So sorry about that. And then, of course, the next thing in my inbox is this one, right? And that is that Congress is going to vote on what else? Gender identity, sexual orientation, discrimination in the workplace. Now, some of you may remember me talking about a local hangout here that my wife and I would go to, more so myself than the wife. Because it's an establishment that they serve a lot of different beers. They've got like 300 different beers between tap and bottle. So there's always a variety, and I like that. There was a host / hostess who was clearly a boy or young man when I started going there. And very gradually, he was transforming into a girl. And it just bugged the crap out of me. I wanted to just shake him, sit him down and say, what the heck? I mean, what's going on, dude? What is wrong? And I realized one night, you know, as I was coming home and my wife's upset with me and just saying, you know, why does it bother you so much? And I'm like, you know, I don't know. It just grates on my nerves. And I got to thinking about it. And, you know, this young man was clearly uncomfortable. He is a host/hostess at a dang restaurant. So the majority of the people coming in the front door, he sees and has interaction with. And he's wearing shorty shorts like a girl. And he's growing boobs. And he's wearing makeup. Okay? And there isn't a man that walks in there that doesn't just look at him like, are you freaking kidding me? Well, there might be a few. But the majority walk in and see this and they just want to jack slap him. So, you know, I got to thinking about that and I thought, you know, like it or not, that takes a wheelbarrow full of cojones knowing that you're going to face all kinds of ridicule. I mean, to me, regardless of what I think of his choices or what he was doing, kid had a hell of a lot of courage. And I was talking to one of the girls that worked there. As I understand, I get it, you know, okay, you're gay or homo, you know, you like boys. And my bartender says, no, oh no, it likes girls. Okay, now I really cannot get my head around this. I just cannot get my brain around what I've just learned. So here I have a young man who is clearly taking some kind of hormones or something to transform himself at least above the waist into, for all intents and purposes, a female. And he's attracted to girls. So I thought to myself, and I kind of laughed, and I wish I would have shared this with him, that, you know, so he truly was. But guys joke about this all the time, but apparently this young man really literally was a lesbian trapped in a man's body. I believe I've seen it all. And I know that you guys are probably not laughing right now. It's sad. That, I believe, is a choice this young man made. And, you know, I really wanted to find a way to reach out, to talk to this young man, to find out, to ask him, why? What is it? What is going on? You know, I just, how do you ask somebody like that? What they're, in my mind, the only way that I can reconcile it in my mind is that there had to have been some kind of event, some kind of tragedy, I don't know what, in this young man's life to cause him to do what he was doing, some kind of trauma. Yes, thank you. My heart was really crushed because he really was a nice kid. I mean, you know, and he always tried to talk to me and I just blew him off because I just couldn't deal with it. Couldn't talk to him in a serious manner, but you know, looking back. And he's not there now. He's gone somewhere else. And, you know, God bless him. I hope he finds what he's looking for. But we really just, as a society, I think that, you know, we're just so far gone. And I think it'll come back around, but not until after all hell breaks loose and shit falls apart. A sufficient number of us has murdered each other. Then I think, you know, we'll start to pick up the pieces and come back together. And it rips my heart out. And I think of my grandchildren. And the values that I know they need to have. You know, I had a customer come in my shop today, and they come in frequently. And guys, you hearing this, you might think I live out on the left coast with Miss Linda out there somewhere in the land of fruits and nuts, but this is, by God, you know, north central Georgia. I'm 45 miles north of Atlanta in the Bible Belt. And I've got this girl that comes in, and she has a brand, you know, like you brand a cow. She has an upside-down Star of David or a pentagram branded into her shoulder, chest area, on her right shoulder. And she comes in from time to time with a male who's growing breasts. And, you know, of course, they've got the coexist and the goth and all that. I mean, it's pretty clear to me that these two are dabbling in some satanic crap. I really don't like talk to them. I don't like to look at them. I don't like to, but I have to be at least cordial. It's the job. It's what I got to do. I don't like it, but you want to ask. I really want to ask, but I don't want to piss them off, and I don't want to lose my job because I'm curious, you know? But as they walked out of the store, there was an older gentleman sitting there. And he was laughing and shaking his head. And I said, yeah, you know, the really sad thing is, Hal, you and I are the weird ones. See, because we look at folks like that and we just think, what in the Sam hell is wrong with you people? Truly, it's becoming more and more the norm. Folks like me are becoming the oddity. We're the strange ones. And that's one of the things that really twisted me about that video. With all these little kids, and they're like, oh, that, and all the little girls, you know, oh, that's so sweet, that's so precious, and I just want to puke. There was one little girl. She couldn't have been five. She got it. She's looking at it. She says, is that a man? And a man? That's, why would they do that? Thank God. One voice of sanity out of all these little children. It is very sad. It's just, to me, devastating. We're going to bring on, I believe this is Mr. Robert. Robert, you're not wearing a brassiere tonight, are you?
No, I'm not wearing
a brassiere. I just want to make...
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure, considering the topic.
I don't have my filter on.
Now, for those
you know
of you...
Why?
Now, wait a minute. For those of you that don't know Robert, I hope, knows that was an inside joke that I told him about the yarmulke and the guy that was buying up all the black 32 C cup bras and cutting them in half and selling them for yarmulkes. So
you're the only one that doesn't put me on mute.
Well, I can put you. I mean, if you're feeling, you know, like left out, I can put you on mute. If that's
no, you know what I found out today, Ron.
Oh God, I'm afraid to ask, Robert.
They were talking about healthcare hedge funds, right? So I just Googled it. Neil Cavuto was Neil Cavuto was going ballistic. So just to pique my curiosity, I researched it. And lo and behold, guess what I found out?
Government is investing their pension funds in insurance company stocks.
Almost. You're close, but no cigar. Guess who owns 2.5 million shares of Johnson & Johnson Pharmaceuticals?
Blue Cross Blue Shield.
George Soros.
Oh, well, yeah, well.
I got so bad.
You're gonna give up your Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo now?
I got so mad. I wrote to Mad as Hell at FoxNews.com with Bill O'Reilly and Neil Cavuto, and I said, today you were talking about healthcare hedge funds. I happened to Google that for my self-interest. Lo and behold, I researched that George Soros owns 2.5 million shares of Johnson & Johnson Pharmaceuticals. Is that amazing?
Well, you know, you got to understand something. There are government pensions, and I talked about this on one of the previous shows. You know, government pension funds invest in stocks. That's what they do. Your city manager down in Sarasota or Venice, you know, he goes around and invests the money, part of the money that the city brings in through taxation and revenues. He goes out and he invests that in different investments for the city to fund their pension funds and for other purposes. So your city manager will stay quite busy just attending board meetings. And, you know, if you think about it, and I don't know this to be the gospel truth, and I'm not willing to, quite honestly, put the effort into researching it because it takes a hell of a lot of effort to uncover some of this stuff, okay? I'm talking months of research it would take to unravel some of these corporations. But I think it's plausible, and I can't see it working any other way, quite honestly. I have no doubt that this is what goes on. So you have government pass a mandate, right? The government passes an insurance regulation, we'll say. And in that insurance regulation, they tell the insurance company that the company that, you know, Kaiser Permanente, their insurance group, they're not allowed to make more than X amount of dollars profit per policy. Anything above and beyond, let's make up a number for the sake of demonstration. Let's say that they look at it and say, okay, you're not allowed to make more than $10 per month profit per policy. Anything above $10 a month in profit per policy has to be returned to the shareholders, the stockholders.
Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Okay, so
what I do know
if your pension is heavily vested as a congressman, if your pension is heavily vested in that company, I mean, what a great gig, you know?
It is a great gig. You know, this is what I don't understand. You know, Obama was referring to his Acme insurance. Well, I looked up Acme insurance, right? And it just so happens I always want to say, see a quote, go to the quote section. So I go to the quote section, right? And look, and there it was, plain as day. The cheapest plan is the bronze plan, correct? So you
right.
know what people are going to start paying on the premiums of the bronze plan alone. The bronze plan alone is going to be $500 to $700. Period. Okay, my insurance premium for Blue Florida Blue is $317 a month. I'm going to lose it at the end of July. So what I'm going to have to do is, whether it's a cyclone, do I go ahead and enroll into the $500 or $700 plan, or do I take the penalty of my salary, 1% of my salary, and go for, you know, take the hike and take $400 out of my salary each year or each month? That's probably what's going to happen.
Well, and I hate to you know, continue the focus on this stupid healthcare thing, but how can you not when it impacts so many people in this country? And of course, everyone knows, or should know by now, the famous Nancy Pelosi quote, "We're going to have to pass it to see what's in it."
Mm-hmm.
She was telling the truth because she didn't have a damn clue what was in it. I'm clueless as usual. Mm-hmm. But today I heard, was it today or yesterday, I heard the quote from Dianne Feinstein. I think it was today, actually.
Oh, God.
And it just, but you know, this is the way, this is how we rationalize that a lie is not a lie. Okay? And when the interviewer played the clip, of course, that everybody's heard of a million times by now, of Obama, if you like your insurance policy, you can keep your insurance policy, period.
Hmm.
And he said, now, can we at least admit that the president lied to people there? She said, well, no, he actually, you know, what he said there was true.
Mm-hmm.
Right up until the bill was enacted. Once it was enacted, then that's no longer accurate. But he didn't say that after the legislation was passed. So what she's saying is, well, yeah, you can keep your plan, you just can't use it.
Yeah. Or you can keep it, but what's going to happen is your premium is going to be raised anyway. So whatever you want to do, you're still going to be, you know what.
You know, it just... And I hope to God, I really do, that more and more of these people who are of the Democrat persuasion who thought, you know, and I think a lot of these folks, and I hate to play this whole left-right game, but it truly is, unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that do think in those terms. And so my hope is that, you know, those people are seeing this and they're just completely disenfranchised, because you can try to sugarcoat it and paint it with bullcrap all you want, but the average person feels like they were lied to, because they were.
Yeah.
Just plain and simple. Is it so damn difficult? I mean, it's honestly, this is what we've come to. As a society, right, that it's absolutely
right.
impossible to say, you know what, I was wrong. And,
yeah,
you know,
God,
in fact, the president lied. In fact, you know, the president lied. He knew.
I believed him that I was going to be able to keep my insurance. I absolutely did believe him. Now I
absolutely did not ever believe that, not for a minute. And if you follow my show, and I know you do, I told everyone that would listen that it's going to be ruled a tax. It's not going to work. It's not designed to work. It's designed to put everybody into a single-payer frickin' system. From the get-go. I've never had any doubt. I never had a doubt. Not one second did I doubt that. Let's bring in Miss Linda from all the way over the left coast. Robert's on the right coast. Kind of. Robert's actually, if I may, in the armpit of the right coast. And Miss Linda is on the left coast, and everywhere out there is the, well,
Sodom and
somewhat
Gomorrah.
South of the armpit. I'll just put a leave it that way.
There you go. Oh, God, it gets worse by the minute. The only saving grace there was we had the rally on last Thursday, and there was so many great patriots in front of ICE's office. Along in the short, I did get to sign the new petition, which would try to overturn the gay, neutral, gender bender bathrooms in the schools and stuff, and, you know, that stupid law that was actually signed by, you know, Moonbeam Mussolini Brown. And so we are trying to get that referendum on the ballot by, you know, we just need X amount of signatures so everybody's out there, you know. I mean, that's the one good thing about California, and I think they have those things in Florida too, but where you actually put those propositions or referendum on the ballot and the voters vote. But then, of course, if we overturn it, then watch the Ninth Circuit Court, you know, overrule us. I mean, this goes on all the time. Because they did it with Prop 8, and they did it with, what was that one?
I'll say it.
1-8-something, the one about the, you know, not giving special sanctuary and sanctions or whatever, not sanctions, but special stuff for the Hispanics that were here illegally, and they overturned that, too.
I do not understand why people will continue to elect politicians at the state level, that will submit jurisdiction over matters that are wholly within the state and submit them over to jurisdiction of the federal government. I just do not understand.
I know.
Why these people, and I guess it has to be just complete ignorance.
Yeah, well, they've
a combination of ignorance and stupidity. I don't know.
Yeah. I think because, you know, I know that Miss Rowland has been teaching for a little over 30-some years, and she's looking at it from that perspective. But where I sit, I think it's been a heck of a lot longer than even 60 years that they have been thoroughly dumbing down this populace. Huge. Because
well, they absolutely,
they
absolutely have. And you know, I listen to these people that if you even attempted to have a conversation with the majority of these people about critical thinking skills, they would just like short circuit.
I know.
I don't get it. You know, and I had a video that I watched today. It's about 36 minutes long or so, and it was a woman back in 2011, giving a speech. She has a website, webofdebt.org or webofdebt.com. Mm-hmm. So she's pushing this idea of a state bank and state currency, much
right.
like we had in the colonial times, colonial script. I get it. And her and I agree on some things. I think the largest problem with the monetary system as a whole is the interest. I think the interest added to, you know, every dollar created diminishes the dollar and enriches the banker. She likes to point to Nebraska or North Dakota, I'm sorry. And a lot of people don't know that North Dakota has its own state bank. And
cool.
when I say state bank, I mean the state deposits all their money in that bank, and all state transactions run through that bank, all municipal transactions run through that bank. And she's telling and explaining to people what a great system it is. And that's true. but she's overlooking something when she's talking about what a wonderful system it is. The state of Nebraska, or North Dakota, I'm sorry, they don't have to print their own money. They can use the money that's already in circulation that they steal from their citizens to fund their little bank. Now, that's great, and it works fantastic. You know, the bank actually pays the state 5% interest on all its money that's on deposit at the bank. In 2011, the state earned 19% return on their money. That's pretty damn good. I don't know too many, you know, managers on Wall Street that are getting their clients 19%, you know, annualized, and it's constant. So it's good because the bank will loan money to the state or to municipalities at zero interest, no interest added.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good system. But so anybody that wants to go check that out can. That's webofdebt.com. But just bear in mind, if you watch that video, that you're talking about a state that's using federal money that's already been printed.
Right.
So they're not printing their own. So it's not quite as simple as she likes to make out. And I believe we got Mr. Mikey B. on from the hot seat. How you doing, Mikey?
Hey, Ron. How are you?
Dude, I am so pissed off. I can't see straight. That video tore me right out of frame.
Well, it should. But, you know, I read a little bit of it. And you know what? I'm not mad because I've already accepted the fact that it's not just this country, but this world, it's over. And I'm going through a transition of spiritually leaving it. And, you know, I feel better because the reality is this material world is dead. And I'm finally understanding the separation when John said, "Be not part of this world," because you can't be close to God and you can't be close to Satan. And we know in John 1:5-19, the world lies in the power of the wicked one. And once people accept that, you can deal with it. Like, for instance, there are not going to be any impeachments. There's not going to be any arrests. You're not going to see any justice. Accept it. Deal with it. Wrap your arms around it. And as far as this homosexual crap and reaching out to kids, take your children out of the schools. Find out what the curriculum is. Be on top of your teachers week after week. Oh, you're doing this? My kid won't be here. Like you said all along, Ron, it's non-compliance. If parents are outraged by these videos, by what's being taught, keep your children home. And what about my job? Well, you know what?
Some things are more important than that crap, you know?
If you can't keep all of your things and HBO and your three cars to protect your children from this satanic crap, if you can't do that, well, then you know what? When your kids come home, when your boys come home with tits, and when your girls come home with bulges in their pants, just look in the mirror as to whose fault it is. Because it's yours, Mr. and Mrs.
Yeah.
America, Mr.
Well,
and Mrs. World. It's your fault.
You're absolutely correct. And I think that, you know, there was a time that as parents, we knew, we understood that, you know, we have to make sacrifices for our children. And, you know, what's doing the thing that's right is not always doing the thing that's easy.
Correct.
But we have just become absolutely enamored with idolatry. We love our stuff.
That's a great word, enamored.
And the other thing is, when you look at that big picture, these people who are not literally putting their children's well-being, et cetera, first, they have their priorities up there, you know what. So this is, that's, you know what I'm saying, that they, it's just completely an upside-down world. Nothing like our parents and grandparents taught us. So it's sad. I see it in my own family. I mean, I got a niece that, you know, she's so excited about going out and going on stage with not much on to win her trophies at the age of 40, and her two little kids are being indoctrinated with Common Core in the most heinous fashion I've ever seen. And she doesn't, apparently, doesn't bother her. So that's what's going to happen to them.
Well, you know, I mean,
it,
and I don't condone the movie, but I have seen a couple of the commercials for it here and there. And, you know, I had to laugh, and that's the one called Bad Grandpa. Have you seen the previews for that?
Uh-uh.
One of the things years ago when my girls were little bitty, okay, we lived in Colorado. I remember the whole JonBenet thing after we had moved. And that was something that to me, as a father of two young girls, I told my wife, I said, there is no way in hell I would allow my girl, my daughter, to go into one of those little beauty pageant things that they dress them up like little prostitutes. I'm sorry.
Yes, they do.
And that's this commercial for this Bad Grandpa is, you know, this little girl comes out on the stage looking a lot like JonBenet Ramsey. And then, you know, for the talent part, she rips her costume off and she's pole dancing. And you know, the people in the audience are aghast. But I'm sorry, that's the reality. That's truly just about what I see in my mind when I see one of those stupid beauty pageant things for these little girls on TV. I got to change the channel. I'm like, are you kidding me? There's a bunch of pedophiles out there just rubbing their hands together. What the hell is wrong with you people? These are little girls. They're, my God, would you let them be children?
It's soft porn is what it is.
Some
it's
of it's not so damn soft.
Disgusting.
I mean, it's just disgusting. And, you know, no, it blows my mind. And my wife used to get so angry at me because I had I was a totalitarian dictator. Let me tell you, no makeup, period, nada. You ain't doing that crap. No lipstick, none of this junk. You know, the girls want to play dress up, that's fine. My wife's never worn makeup. She doesn't. So why would you teach your girls that that's an okay thing to be putting all this red crap on your lips? And I mean, you understand the connotation there and what that says.
Ron, you are such a despot. You know that?
Well, you know what? Screw it. I'm sorry.
Just kidding, brother.
I understand that, but I have standards. And, you know, my wife used to try and rationalize, oh, it doesn't hurt anything. You're wrong. That's where you're wrong. Because when you teach them that that's okay, that that's acceptable behavior, it does hurt something. Just like there were no toy guns allowed in my home. End of conversation. Why? Because I happen to own real firearms. And they're not toys. So I thought it was irresponsible of me as a parent, if I were going to own firearms, to buy my children things that replicate a firearm, they look like a firearm, and teach them that they're toys and it's fun to play with, and you should point them at little Johnny across the street and shoot him, and you can play war. Look, I get that when they're outside the house and they're out playing, the boys are going to be boys, and that kind of thing's going to happen. But I'm not going to condone it as okay in my house.
Right.
Not going to happen.
You know why I never got a girl pregnant?
I'm not sure if I want to know this answer, Robert, but go for it.
Because my mother, my sister, well, my sister, when she was 16, one of her girlfriends.
You're scaring me. Okay.
She got pregnant. And back then in the, you know, in the 60s, that was...
Oh, that was sure. Well, it was kept quiet. That was certainly not acceptable.
Well, my brother and I were getting ready for our football game. she let my mother was making steak dinners, right? She's pounding to me with the steak, listening to my sister, right? And my mother looked at my brother and I and said, motherly stare and said, if you ever, ever get a girl pregnant, I'll cut it off. And we're kidless today. None of us kids had kids. That's a true story. My parents never became grandparents. That's pretty sad, isn't it?
Well, I doubt that, you know, the lack of children later in life. I don't know. Your mother may have been an imposing figure that might have scared the hell out of you. But, I mean, you understand. You know, there are things that are just right. And there are things when it comes to our children that are just wrong. And there are any number of reasons, excuses, rationalizations, justifications that we can come up with that society will embrace us with that says, oh, it's okay. But no, it's not okay. And that's where I, as a parent, as a father, I draw the line. I stepped up with one of my son-in-laws. And I don't take that lightly because I don't think that it's anyone's business to interfere with how I raise my child. And I can damn sure guarantee you that I'd tell you that if you interjected something to me when my kids were younger. But they were living in my house, and I saw something that was out of line, and it was having a negative effect on one of my grandsons, my oldest grandson. His father would just fly into a fury and scream and yell. And, I set him aside one day, and I said, look, you know, you can't do that. Because what you're teaching your child is that if something upsets you, the way that you handle it is you just fly off the handle emotionally and you go into a tirade. And I said, you got to stop that. And you're scaring the hell out of your kid. And he was terrified of his father. And it's one thing to have a healthy respect and fear of, you know, justice and the rules. But it's another thing just to stand and tremble in front of your father.
I know that.
You know? And that's... And I mean, he is such a good kid. He is just the kindest hearted. He's got a very soft nature. So... And, you know, for me, I don't know if I've... I don't know if I've covered this or not, and it's very personal to me. It's something that I had to work on, pray on. I spent a lot of knee time. But all three of my children, when they were younger, were sexually molested by the babysitter's 14-year-old son.
Oh, dear.
And my youngest at the time was still in diapers. So she wasn't quite two when that happened. And I really, really, really struggled with that for a very long time.
And is this piece of crap still alive?
He is. And you know what, Mikey?
You're a better man than me.
I'm going to tell you something. I forgave him.
Oh, you're 10 times better than me, brother.
And I'm here to tell you, that was the single most difficult thing I've ever done in my entire life, bar none. Nothing has been more difficult in this life. I wanted blood. I wanted his head on a stick, and his father, and his mother. And it, you know, we lived in a very small town, and I was out in a farmer's shed working on his equipment, and I got a phone call. And I thought, well, that's odd. And so I went in, and it was my stepfather, who was a retired police officer. And I had no idea that all this stuff had gone on that morning. Evidently, my wife went to take the kids to the babysitter. Kids had not divulged anything to her at all. And there was no one home. And so she called a friend of ours that lived in town, and he was happened to be at home, and he said, yeah, he'd be happy to watch the kids, so he did. And he went to change my youngest diaper, and he saw bruises like fingers. He flipped out because he knew, you know, something, A, that ain't right, B, I don't want to get the blame for this because Ron will kill me if he even remotely thinks. So he immediately called my stepfather. I drove home. All dad would tell me is it's the kids and you need to come home. When I saw my little girl, I drove to that guy's house and I punched his front door right off the hinges into his living room. And if there had been anybody there, they would have been dead. It still tears me up personally. Because the way I see it, that was my failure as a father to protect my children. But I don't blame the kid, and I don't blame his parents. I mean, it was wrong, and I don't think that 14-year-old boy just came up with that out of his own mind. He learned it from somewhere, which tells me that he was abused. And I feel bad. I feel bad for him. My heart goes out to him. But that was the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life. Figure if I can get through that.
You run out of time,
I can get through anything. Yeah, I got a few minutes left, about 4 minutes. But that's not something that I share with everyone. But, you know, you guys are family and our guest on here. It is what it is. My kids have all grown past it, and they're all fabulous parents.
That's great.
You know, we worked through it.
Wow. Well, you know what? God saved you from killing somebody because they weren't home.
I'll tell you.
Absolutely speechless.
Boy.
Speechless. I don't know. I don't know how you got past something like that. I certainly couldn't.
It
took a lot of years, Mikey. Took a lot of years.
Not
used
easy.
To, I couldn't even.
Yeah.
I mean, there for a lot of years, I couldn't even talk about it. If I even mentioned it, if I thought about it, I'd just ball up my fist and start, you know, bouncing my knee up and down, just pure rage. You can't imagine. But you gotta learn to forgive. You know, life's too short and. I got to thinking about that Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If I can't find the forgiveness in my heart,
right,
then that same level of pure vengeance that I want to met out on these other people, that's the level of judgment that the people that I've done wrong in my life get to use against me. So it is kind of self-serving in one sense, but...
Well, God's going to judge each person all by themselves, so whatever he deals with those people, that's up to him, and he's the greatest judge, so he'll do it. Don't worry about it.
Well, guys, I got like 60 seconds left. Any last thoughts, Robert?
I don't know, just... Like Mikey says, I guess we're going to have to embrace it, which I don't want to do, but...
Michael?
I don't know if I can fight.
Yeah, that's what Robert just said, is what I had said earlier, that, just going to have to embrace that it's over. We're done. The Roman Empire fell the same way. Ancient Israel fell the same way. They allowed homosexuality and debauchery in, and it became the norm, it became the culture. and they've disintegrated. And we're going to disintegrate on a global scale. There's not going to be a grand saving. There's not going to be a miracle. There's not going to be a 1776. It just isn't.
And
so,
I say, great show.
So
God bless.
You just better circle the wagons around your children. And if you got to give up your stuff for what's right, then start learning to give it up. You got to give some to get some.
Brother, I'm here to tell you right now, they can have it all, but they can't have my babies. That I will fight for. You can damn well rest assured of that.
Well, exactly, of course. Of course. You have to circle the wagons around your families.
Absolutely.
And if you have to, and if the mom or the dad has to quit a job just to keep their kids out of school, I mean, this has to be done en masse. I mean, you have to make a decision. Is it your stuff or is it your principles? You got to make a decision.
Well, what's more important, family or, you know, your three cars and your league night, you know, playing bridge or bowling or whatever the hell it is, you know, your recreation, your big screen TV, your Comcast cable. I mean, what the hell's more important to you? That's really what it comes down to.
People need to go stand in front of the mirror and take stock of themselves and decide once and for all, where do they stand?
Well, I think they need to stand in front of the mirror and say, damn you.
Well,
how did you let this happen?
You know what? That's past, all right? We are where we are. We know how we got here. I mean, I've done the timelines. You've done the timelines. We know it. We're here. We're today. Yesterday is gone. It's now. Take stock of yourselves. And you better figure out where you stand.
Amen, brother.
And that's it. And that's it.
They're going to have to shoot me, Mike.
Well,
they will.
I mean, they
don't
will.
Worry. That's coming. Don't worry.
That's the bottom line. That's how I feel. They can just shoot me and take everything away from me. I don't care at this point.
Hey, I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go, too.
I see two outcomes. I'm either going to roam the cosmos, a.k.a. heaven, or I'm going to be dead like a squirrel, Book of Ecclesiastes, conscious of nothing at all. But my suffering here in this disgusting place called Earth will be over. So I'm ready to go.
Mikey,
I'm ready to be shot in the head. I'm ready to go.
There's one solution. You can join Leonie and I, and we can jump off the Skyway Bridge.
Well, Robert, I tried to take things in my own hand on May 20th, and I failed. And it was against my faith. You're not supposed to take yourself out. And I'm not going to do that again. But would I have a problem with somebody shooting me in the back of the head in a shopping mall or a parking lot? Nope. Matter of fact, I'll stand there for him. I could go.
Give him a blessing first.
Yeah.
Well, we got to stick together. That's all I got to say. I mean, there's nothing else we could do.
Well, I'm just going to try to wake up as many people as I can. And, you know, I'm not Alex Jones. I don't reach out to millions. I reach out to few. And I got a very nice email yesterday. Somebody looked at one of my old YouTube shows, and he goes, I finally found this guy on YouTube. I listen to his podcast every week, and that was very uplifting. So
well,
it's nice
you know,
to know
and,
that I'm somebody. You
that,
know?
That's the whole reason that we do this. I mean, for me, that's the whole reason I do the show. You know, it's not to I don't do it just because I like to talk, although I do. I am good at that. But I want to reach people. I think that I have a calling to help educate people and open their eyes to the reality of the real world out there. Instead of this facade that's been pulled down, it's like a movie screen that's been pulled down, you know, and it's shielding them from the reality that's right behind the curtain and they can't see it. And it's a work in progress.
Yeah. And that's why I've upped it to two shows. And when I get down to Texas, I'm no longer working this ridiculous float, rotating shift crap. And I want to up it to 4 or 5 a week, to be honest with you. That's my goal. Just have a nightly show.
Well, you know, I used to, Mikey, I used to do 4 shows a week. And I can tell you, working full-time and doing 4 3-hour shows a week is exhausting.
Well, I'm not. Well, they're going to be hour shows and the 2-hour Saturday. It's not. I cannot work a job and do this, you know, 2 3-hour shows every night. It's just going to be an hour each in the 2-hour mega hot seat on Saturday nights. That's my goal. So working
well,
on
guys,
that.
Well, it was great hearing from everybody, and thanks for doing the show, Ron. It was really good. And
Ron, how are
you
feeling today?
Feel great today.
Good. Good.
Feel great today. You know, you never know. It comes and goes, man. There are days where it feels like somebody has jammed an ice pick behind my molar and is just trying to wrench it out, you know?
Mm.
And, man, it'll shoot around the back of your neck up to your temple, and it just makes me, personally, makes me just want to, like, destroy something.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm a very physical type of person. When I get angry, when I get emotional, I'm physical. I get very physical, and I it's taken a long time to learn to tame that beast. But pain is the one thing that brings it out in me quicker than anything.
Hmm. I hear you, brother. Well, you know I'm going to visit you soon.
I look forward to it.
Me too. Me too, brother. Me too.
Absolutely look forward to it,
I'm
sir.
I'm down to Florida. Come down and have a vacation.
That's kind of a long way to get to Texas.
Yeah.
That's like the old Uneasy Rider song, Wonder If Anybody Think I Flipped If I Rerouted My Trip to L.A. via Omaha.
Yeah. George is one thing. Florida, that's a little rough.
We're going to be in L.A. in January, Linda.
Lower Alabama?
Right. I'm going to L.A. again in January.
Well, that'll be good.
Oh, go ahead. I don't want to cut anybody off here.
Yeah, just email me, Robert. You've got my email, so, and then we'll get to that.
I got
your
email about the Obamacare step. That was pretty funny.
Oh, okay.
You know, one thing I want to do, you guys, and Robert, I don't think you've got a copy of it, but I know Linda and Mike did the Affordable Boat Act. I actually want to, and I may do that. I'm taking vacation, and I should have announced that on the show. I didn't think about it. But next week I will be on vacation, so I won't be doing a show on Monday. If someone would like to fill in for me on Monday, that would be great. But
I wish I could, brother, but with these midnight to eights, I couldn't commit, unfortunately.
No worries. Well, maybe, Linda, you can get – maybe everybody can kind of get together and do like a round table or something. But I want to sit down and I want to draft a simile legislation, a faux bill. And I'm not going to use boats, but I am going to use something, and that's housing.
You think
about that for a minute, because truly, that's not far-fetched. I mean, it's something that could actually be done based on your health care law.
That's what they're doing, Ron. They're mortgaging the health care. They're mortgaging.
Oh, no, I'm talking about a mandate that everyone has to own a home.
Oh, that's sick. That's even the whole thing is. Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm telling you, it's going to be good. Linda, I sent you an email with a link to a Murray Rothbard book, A History of Money and Banking in the United States before the 20th century.
I tried to load it, and for some reason, it wouldn't come up. So,
well, there's two links there. One says new tab. And the other one is a link. It's a PDF file.
Okay.
So
one last thought, Ron.
Yes, sir.
Be watching for the farm bill, okay? And the reason why he's pushing for the farm bill is what I heard and what I've done research on. Milk will be raised to $8 a gallon.
Sure.
So keep an eye on that. Once that happens, then we are. As Mike would say, we will be over.
Well, that has to do with the milk subsidies. I don't think people even realize it's such a damn mess. It's disgusting.
It's cute.
Well,
guys,
that's the bottom line.
Thank you all for calling in, taking part
in
the show.
Thank you, Ron.
It was
God
awesome.
Bless you,
all right,
brother.
Mikey, be good.
Hey,
you too,
Dave.
Robert. You too, Linda. Take care.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.